So we're going to take a look at the Christmas story today. I want to read with you first off, starting in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Greatest story ever told. Now there's two ways to look at Christmas. There was a story about this father that had two twin boys. One was an optimist and one was a complete pessimist. They looked exactly alike and they looked at everything completely different though in life. And the one that was an optimist could always find something to be excited about. And the one that was a pessimist always could find something to be negative about. So what the dad did was he said, you know, this Christmas, I'm going to see if this is really who they are. So he said, we're going to take all the presents and put them in the pessimist room. Fill his room up with all the presents. Then we're going to take a pile of horse manure and we're going to put it in the optimist room. I want to see how this affects the way they believe. And the story goes like this. It says, on Christmas morning, the twins woke up and the one whose room was full of toys and full of presents looked around and sat down in the middle of the room and started crying. And I said, what's wrong? He says, look at all this work I have to do. I'm going to have to put together all these toys. I got to read all these instructions. I got to protect all this stuff, not let people tear it up or mess it up. Look at all these things. Look at all this work and all this stuff that now I have to do. And the dad walked out of the pessimist room, walked into the optimistic room, and the little boy was running around in circles, jumping, shouting for joy. And I said, what's going on? He said, Dad, you won't believe it. He said, but there's a pile of horse manure right here, so I know there's a pony somewhere. And he was trying to find it. I got a question for you. How are you going into this Christmas season? Because the way you look at this thing, and the way you choose to believe about Christmas this year, it's going to greatly affect what God can do Christmas in your life. Let's read this story. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26-38, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in a town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to marry a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. A virgin's name was Mary. The angel went out to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel told her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Verse 38 says this, I am the Lord's your servant. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. First thing you need to understand about this story, jumping right into it, is this. Christmas is not just a history story. Christmas is a supernatural story. If you were to take supernatural out of this story, we would have a story that would be no more powerful than the story of Santa Claus. What makes this story different than stories you've heard of Santa Claus, or even to the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and now the modern day story of the elf on the shelf? How many of you guys have an elf on the shelf? Let me give you a hint, though, going into this. I was so excited the first year I got an elf on the shelf for my girls, I messed up. Because once you start something, you can't stop it. All right, and our elf shows up at our house on December 1st, all excited to travel back. We thought, oh, great. They got the, if you don't know the story of the elf on the shelf, what is it? It's a little elf. He sits on your shelf, and he watches your kids all day. And at night, while your kids are sleeping, he travels back to Santa Claus at the North Pole and gives Santa his report. Then he comes back. So we thought, wow, this is going to keep the kids in check and keep them doing right. Well, we started this goofy add-on to it, though. Now, Nobody in here to tell my girl. What we do now is this. If they're good, they'll bring something back. A little trinket, a little Dollar Tree. If they're bad, he doesn't bring anything back. And so they know if they're... And really cool is, you know, we're into the first week of December. My girls have not gotten into one fight since December 1st. That's awesome. But it's costing me more on Christmas now than it is. So don't start things you don't want to continue because I don't have a choice. Now I got to keep this thing going. But those, all those stories are stories, and they have what they, what makes those stories real to kids is the magic. What makes this story real to us is the supernatural. What you got to understand is supernatural is different than magic. Because magic is make-believe, but supernatural is real. You live in a supernatural world. Whether or not you want to believe it or accept it or not, what you see and touch is the natural. But we were born and created for more than the natural. You were created for more than to go to work and get a paycheck. You were created more than to just get through and survive. You were just created for more to get up and go to bed. You were created more than to just run the rat race. You were created with a supernatural purpose on your life. And the power of this story is that it's a supernatural story. Now let me tell you something. Your story is just as powerful as this story because your story is connected to this story because your story is supernatural. You would not be here if it weren't for the supernatural. You would not be able to have right standing with God if it weren't for the supernatural. And you say, well, Cricket, I don't believe in the supernatural. Well, you need to understand something. Whether or not you believe it or not doesn't change the fact that it's real. And the supernatural is real. And if you can't accept the supernatural, then you're going to have a hard time accepting the true story of Christmas. Because every part of this story is supernatural. And every part of what God does is supernatural. You say, and there's good news that is this. Because if this is a supernatural story and God was able to do this, then this is the truth. Then what you need in your life, I'm telling you, God can do because you need a supernatural miracle. If you need your marriage mended, it's going to take a supernatural move of God in your life to get your marriage back together. If you could have done it, you would have done it. If your finances are broken, you need a supernatural move in your life. If your health is bad, you need a super... The good news is this. God does the supernatural. And you've got to believe that supernatural things are real. And this story happened, and we have this story because God is a supernatural God. And He still does supernatural things. And He is willing to work supernaturally on your behalf to make all things work together for good. And you say, well, Cricket, how do you know it's supernatural? When it don't make sense in the natural, it's always supernatural. It's always supernatural. And God is willing, able, and working in the supernatural realm of your life. Here in this story, Mary shows up and this angel pops up in the room. Now, if I were to come in here today and tell y'all I had this event last night, an angel showed up in my room and he told me this stuff and I was convinced that it happened, half the people in here wouldn't believe what I'm telling you. The other half would say, leave your wallet in the car. He's about to try to take up money some way for this. We have gotten so cynical about supernatural things that we quit believing that God can do them. I want you to know something. God did it supernaturally then, and you can believe that God will do it supernaturally now. He will do what you can't do or understand Him doing in your life. The cool thing about this story when it kicks off is this. When the angel showed up, he said, greetings. That's crazy. That's wild. But it's supernatural. The cool thing about it is this. When he showed up, he said, Mary, God's found favor with you. What you need to understand, what he said in that first part was this. Everything you've ever been taught your whole life about who I am and what I'm doing, every promise that was written in the Old Testament that was going to take place is happening at this moment and this time. Before we can really get into this story, you need to understand the underlying story of Christmas is this. God keeps His promises and God keeps His words. If He said He could do it, if He said He will do it, God, you can take it to the bank. So you say, well, Craig, I don't see how he can do it. It's not your job to see how he can do it. It's just your job to know he said he would. Because if he said he would, and he showed up, he said, Mary, everything that you guys have been hoping for, the whole Jewish nation's been believing that this day would come, and it's finally here. It's going to take place. You may have been believing God for the last 15 years that your son's going to come to the Lord, or your daughter's going to have a spiritual awakening. I want you to know something. The Bible says that you and your household shall be saved. If it hadn't happened yet, it's going to happen because God does not break His promises. And it doesn't matter if He has to do it by impregnating a virgin, if He has to cause an angel to fall into the sky, if He has to, I mean, you, when you read this story, if anything would break up a marriage, this would have broke up a marriage or an engagement. But it was supernatural. And it didn't make any sense. You need to know God keeps His promises. He keeps His promises. People in your life may have broken their promises to you. You may have had someone tell you, I'm never going to leave you. Just to find a few years later, you're heartbroken and you're left and you're hurt. You may have had somebody say, I'm going to help you in this area, and they did. Somebody, I'm never going to hurt you, and they do. Well, you know something? Everyone will break promises to you except for God. And it doesn't matter what He has to do. His word will not fail. It said here, He says, whatever God says, He will do. And you need to know He's got the power to do it. You may not understand it. Mary said, how can this be? And the angel was so smart, he said, the Holy Ghost. In other words, he said, it's not your job to understand how I'm going to do it. It's God's job just to do it. And God can, and He will. So you need to know that God keeps His promises. We're going to jump off on the story here where the angel told Mary, she said this. She said, the angel came to Mary and said that, greetings, you are highly favored of the Lord. Now, what we need to talk about here this morning is what favored means. Because, see, when we read that about the favor of God, we think we're about to get some favors from God. Most of the time when you talk about finding favor with God, or you find somebody getting favor from God, ooh, we start thinking, wow, God's about to promote me. God's about to open some doors for me. You need to understand something. Every single person in here has the favor of God in this aspect. There are two types in the Bible. There's the favor of God called the grace. That means unmerited favor. That means it was at a point that you were not right with God and that you did not have a possible way to get right with God. And God favored you so much that it did not matter who you were, what you'd done, where you've been through, and how many times you blew it. God favored you enough to make you have it be able to be right anyway. So every person in here has a favor with God. Now, if you've not accepted God, you need to know this. God wants you to accept His favor. And no matter what mistakes, problems, who you are, where you've been, what you've done, or what you still are doing, God wants you to be right with Him. That's one side of favor with God. Now, that's not the favor of God this angel was talking about. This angel showed up and he said this. He said, Mary, you have found favor with God. This favor was the manifested presence of God at work. And another word, a way to say it is, anointed. There's a difference in getting the favor of God and having favor with God. Don't you know when doors open up for you supernaturally at work and you get that promotion or something works out, that is the favor of God working for you. When you read the Bible and you read about Joseph, the Bible says, and God's favor was on him. He went from prison to palace. That's the favor we all like. That's the favor we all want. But not only did God have that favor on Joseph, God also had the anointing of favor on him. Now, one of them comes free. You did nothing to be able to get saved. You were saved by grace. That was the favor of God. But the anointing favor of God has a great cost to it. Bible says this, that God, the angel showed up and found Mary, so they have favor on you. And he told in brief definitions why he had that favor, why she had that favor. Went into talking about her lifestyle. You know, you got to understand, God loves everyone. But God's attracted to certain people. And by the way people act and the way people walk and the way people talk, they determine whether or not they are attracted by God, to God, or God's attracted to them. Let me say it like the Bible says, you are created in God's image. So if you're created in God's image, let me ask you this. Are there certain people that you know that you're not attracted to? Like the person that complains all the time? How many of you guys look forward to being around that person all the time? All right, or the arrogant person. Person maybe gifted. God is not, he's repelled. There are certain actions that we take that repel God. He loves us all, but he can't use us all. Because, see, Mary didn't just know that God loved her. She knew that not only does God love her, but God also has a plan for her. And that by her making a choice to live a certain way and turn away from certain things and reject certain mentality and be willing to pay a certain price and live a certain standard, that it didn't just get her saved, because she couldn't do anything to be saved and get God's favor of grace, but she could do something to get God's anointing. I want you to know something. God has more for you than just salvation. If you just got saved to go to heaven, I want you to know something. God is happy about that. The Bible says the day you did that, angels rejoiced. But you have to also know something. God has more for you. The Bible says that, as a matter of fact, that there are three different levels. Me and Roger were talking about this the other day. Levels of the will of God. The Bible says there's the good and the perfect and the acceptable will of the Lord. And your lifestyle will determine which one of those wills of the Lord you live. Now there's an acceptable. You say, well, Cricket, what is an acceptable? That's people that make it. They live their whole life how they want to. They do what they want to, be how they want to. And before they die and before they get saved and they get things right with God and they die and go to heaven, that's acceptable. Because the Bible says anyone calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says that you don't have to live a lifetime for Him. But I want you to know something. You're going to go through a lifetime of hurt and brokenness. You're going to go through a lifetime of pain and grief. You're going to suffer in there, because sin always has a huge price. Can people live 80 years for the devil and get saved on their deathbed? They can. And when they do that, that's acceptable. The Bible talks about somebody coming in at the early of the day, God bringing somebody in the middle of the day, and then God somebody and paying them all. You get saved, heaven is your reward. But you're going to live on hell here. Then there's the good will of the Lord. And that's people that decide, all right, you know, I believe God, I love God, I'm going to obey God, and they live the Christian life. And they obey the rules, and they go to church, and the good will, in other words, they get a good life. What's the worst thing that happens to a person that chooses to live for God here on earth? They have a good life. They have a good marriage. If you obey the Scripture, you're going to have a good marriage. If you obey the Scripture in finances, God's going to provide your needs. You have a good life. You can do it for you, have a good life here, and go to heaven. And that's better than living in hell here and going to heaven. But then the Bible says there's the perfect will of the Lord. And the perfect will of the Lord is not you just being a Christian, but it's you being in destiny. And you being what you were created to be. Because God designed you for a specific purpose and a specific plan. And everything about you is put together in a way that you will be completely fulfilled and completely happy by fulfilling that exact thing. But somehow, I was a preacher's kid for years. I thought, if I serve the Lord, I'm going to be unhappy. I want you to know something. I've never been more happy than when I sold out for the Lord. Everything about me that was wrong became right when I chose to go after the will of God for my life. And the perfect will of the Lord is this. It's not the pie in the sky when I die. It's the size of the steak on my plate while I wait to get my pie in the sky when I die. I have an amazing life. Why? Because I've decided to live my destiny. You say, Cricket, are you on it every time? Nope. But if I blow it, I'm going to get up tomorrow and try to get back on destiny. There's a better way to live than just good. And Mary understood this. But to live that way means you're going to have to turn away from some things. The Bible says she had a discipline in her life. that she had chosen not to do what just everybody else said. You say, well, Cricket, there were a lot of virgins back then. There were a lot that weren't. She chose to be different. She chose to. And so, could she earn salvation? No. Can you make yourself available for anointing by the choices you make? Yes. You say, God, Cricket, I want God to use me. Then what you need to do is you need to make a decision that you want the favor of the Lord on your life. So you're going to live certain ways. And you're going to be a certain person. And you're going to do certain things. And you can't do certain things. You can't earn your way into it, but you can make yourself available. Had she been the biggest prostitute in that town, this would not have been a supernatural story. Because her ending up pregnant would have been expected. This was a supernatural story because people that make a choice to set themselves apart, to make themselves different, to turn away from certain things and not be a part of certain things, what they do is they position themselves to be used greatly by God. And what the Bible says is this: God put favor on her. Favor on her. Now, we're going to talk just a minute about favor. Because, see, when we read what favor is, a lot of times we read it and we think, wow, man, I'm about to get that new house. I'm about to get that new car. I'm about to get that new job. God's done put favor on me. You realize what it said in the story? It says, when the angel says, you have found favor on the Lord, it says, she was greatly troubled. She was greatly troubled. That don't sound like the favor I think about. I think you got, God's going to favor me. I don't think of trouble. I think, where am I going to spend it? Where am I going to go? How am I going to do it? And but Mary was mature enough in this situation not to think that way, because she understood that once you get the favor of the Lord, what that means is this: God positions you to a place to use you greatly. It's not about you anymore. When the favor of the Lord comes on your life, it's not about you. You got to understand what the angel told her. He showed up to a young girl, and he told this young girl, he said, what I'm about to do in you is going to be great, and it's going to be supernatural, but it's going to cost you a whole lot. Number two thing about this story is, not only is it supernatural, but number two is, God has favor on you. He saved you, and he wants to use you. And if you will discipline yourself, if you will live a life that is pleasing to him, you say, well, how do I do that, Cricket? The Bible says, I don't have to clean the cup up to give it to him. No, once you give him the way you are, he cleans the cup. But when you choose to live clean, what happens is it moves you into another anointed area of life that places you in a place where God can use you greatly. But it doesn't always look like a great use, because favor always costs something. When that angel showed up, he said, I want to use you to deliver me to a world that desperately needs me. You can understand what he told her. Because she wasn't a dumb girl. She understood. She said, when the angel showed up and says, you're going to conceive a son, that meant 9 months of discomfort. I don't know about you. I look back in my past, and there's been times that God tried to put favor on me, and I'd make it a week or two or 3 weeks of discomfort, and I'd be like, I don't want this favor. She knew when he said, you're going to have a child, it was going to be prolonged, extended time of discomfort. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to pay the price for God's favor? Because you will never get God's favor in the area of anointing without there being a prolonged period of discomfort. Why? Because if God can't trust you with discomfort, he can't trust you with success. The Bible says that if you can't be faithful in the least, he can't make you ruler over many. The way we handle discomfort will determine how much success God can put on our lives. I want you to know something. I've blown it many, many times. Things get hard on me. I say, God, I give up. But I've made the decision now that favor is worth the cost. Not only did she know 9 months of discomfort, he said, you're going to conceive, meaning there was going to be a season and amount of time that that there was going to be great pain. Do you remember the curse of sin? The curse of sin was this, that when Jesus, when Adam and Eve sinned, the curse of sin was man has to work by the sweat of his brow, and women will have pain in childbearing. So when he said you're going to conceive, he said there's going to be a season where you're going to go through great pain. Are you in a season of great pain now? You're saying, God, where are you at? Why are you allowed? You need to know something. If you're in a season of great pain, then that means that God has looked at you and seen you worthy of an opportunity to go into His favor. Because you will never get God's favor without great pain. You say, why? Because anointing does not flow out of fruit. Anointing flows out of the seed. When they make anointing oil, what they do is they strip away the fruit of the olive. Then they take the seed and then they crush the seed. And when they crush the seed, the oil drops out. We all say, God, I want your favor. But the minute it starts hurting, we're like, God, where is your favor? I want you to know something. In your season of pain, you are going through God's favor. And you can trust God that even though it hurts, He's with you all along. From that moment she was told, you are highly favored, the presence of God came in her. And the presence of God never left her. And God used her to carry God everywhere she went. And was it costly? Did it cost uncomfort? Absolutely. Was it costly? Does it cause pain? Yes. Not only that, when she knew the prophecies, she knew that because of the anointing, there were going to be times of things that she couldn't handle on her own. You understand? When he said, you're going to have the child of God, she knew that she was going to have to watch her own son die. That's hard. We think, how cool would it have been to be married? How hard is it for you to watch your own child die? That's hard. Favor has a great cost to it. And the minute we get into a place where there's a cost to pay, a lot of us pull back. And we think, God, your favor, this is not what I thought it was. You need to understand, God never leaves you. God never forsakes you. If He said it's going to end a certain way, it can't end any other way unless you choose to give up in the midst of His favor. That's what it said. He said this. Probably the hardest part that Mary had to deal with that day was this. Not only did she know her son was going to die, the immediate situation she found her in was this. What's everybody going to think? Her reputation was destroyed from that moment on. I want you to know something. A lot of us can't afford the anointing or the favor of God in our lives and God to use us great because we're worried about what other people think. We're worried about what other people are saying. Can you imagine what they're all saying? Well, she said it's the Son of God, but, you know, I've never... You know, I can't imagine the gossip. Can't imagine what was being said. I want you to know something. Doesn't matter what other people say. All that matters is what God said. People may not understand what you're doing and why you're doing it, but you just keep doing it if God told you to do it. You be willing to, and I'm telling you, if God said it, there's no way it will not come true. God keeps His promises, even if He has to do in the supernatural. There was a story about a missionary in the country of Pakistan. She was an American. She went over to Pakistan because she believed God had given her heart for that country. When she went there, she knew it was illegal to preach the gospel and to go and just go and say, hi, I'm a missionary, because it's a Muslim-speaking country or a Muslim-believing country. And so, but God had put this burden in her heart, and God told her to. So what she did was she found a door to be able to go there and be an English teacher. I want you to know something. A title doesn't make you anointed. She went over there as an English teacher in title. I don't care what somebody calls you. I don't care what position you hold. I can hold the position of pastor in the church and not be anointed. You can hold a position anywhere and not be anointed, because titles don't anoint you. But if you have a call on your life and you have been willing to pay the price for the anointing, it doesn't matter if they call you the janitor. You can still be more effective anywhere else than you've ever been before, because anointing does not mean title. This young lady went over to Pakistan. She went as a missionary, secretly covert, as an English teacher. And while she was there teaching English, she just spilled her heart over to people. And people began to get saved. And the town rose up. She was written about in Christian Today magazine. In a small article, it told her story. And it said this. It says, one day, while she was walking to class to teach, she was taken by the men in the town square in a public setting. The men took her, threw her in the street. They urinated in a cup. They held her down and forced her to drink it. Then they told her this. This is the exact trash that you've been letting come out of your mouth. Do not let it come out anymore. She got up from that dust, dusted herself off, and continued to teach the gospel. And the magazine said, pray for her. What does it take to have someone be able to do that? It's the favor of God on their life. Understanding that when you ask for the favor of God, there's a price for you to pay. But I want you to know something. Point three is this. The price is worth it. The price is worth it. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I know this. If you'll choose to go through it right, you'll go choose to go through it living right and being right and standing right before the Lord, no matter how hard it gets, and it will get hard, because anointing always has a price. But you need to know this, it's always worth the price that it costs. Mary, she stood up before that angel, and the angel said, all this stuff's going to happen. So we read it and we celebrate. Wow, Mary! She, the Bible says, was greatly troubled, knowing that what she was going to go through was going to be greater than what she could handle. So she said, how will I get through this? And I want you to know something. The same way Mary got through it is going to be the same way you're going to get through what you're going through. How do I get through this? You're going to get through it by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, the way you live and the way you walk and the way you talk matters. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is not just like Jesus. Jesus loves everyone, and Jesus tolerates everyone, and Jesus puts up with everything. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And if it's going to take the Holy Spirit for me to get through what I'm going through, my actions and my deeds and the way I live affect it. The favor of the Lord can be set upon you by how you walk through your things. And by you going through it right, it's very, very, very important to how great you'll be on the other side. My question is this, are you willing to go through it? And can you understand that it's worth it? How is the pain worth it? How does that lady, that Pakistan in Pakistan, facing death on a daily basis, being forced to drink human urine, I mean, it's the worst scenario I can, how can it be worth it? Because she can see into the supernatural. And she's somehow able to see it does not matter what she's going through. What matters is that God is getting the glory. Let me ask you something. What you're going through, is God getting the glory? You say, Cricket, you don't understand how bad I'm struggling. I know. The favor has a cost. But I want to encourage you by saying this today. It is worth it. It is so worth it. Because weeping will last for a night, but joy will come. It's a matter of time. You need to understand, 9 months of discomfort come to a place where when Jesus was born in that stable, I've been there 3 times when Jennifer went through labor and went through praying. We've had some hard days, and her hormones would be driving us all crazy. She was suffering, I was suffering, we were all suffering. But the minute that baby went into her arms, things changed. I want you to know something. In a minute, in a second, the weeping that you're going through will change and can become joy that quick. And the joy is so great. I watched Jennifer with the first one and thought, well, that's the last one we're going to have. There's no way if I was her I'd go through that again. And we got 2 more. Why? because the joy was so much greater than all the discomfort, all the pain, and all the heartache. Every woman that has more than one child can understand this, that the joy that comes after the pain is worth doing again. I'm here to tell you, it's not going to always be this way, and it's worth it for you. So how do you do it? The Bible said this. The Bible says she was greatly troubled, and she says, how will I get through this? And the last scripture we read there said this. Mary said something great. She says, Lord, I am your servant. Do it as you have said. Fourth point is this. How will you do it? How will God get the glory? How will you make it through? How will the weeping turn into joy? How will this thing have a turnaround? How did this story shift? When she said, I'm not going to do it my way, but I'm going to be willing to do it your way. See, she could have said, all right, God, like Abraham. See, Abraham was told, you're going to have a supernatural birth, and God's going to use you to... And the Bible says that in the process, he tried to figure it out, and he ended up doing it his way, and he ended up having a child his own out of his own strength. Moses did the same thing. Hey, you're going to be called to be a great deliverer. God has chosen you. And then he goes out and tries to do it his way, costing 40 years of pain and wilderness and honey. I want you to know something. When you do it God's way, the pain ends quickly. When you do it your way, you're prolonging what God has in store for you. And the truth of the matter is this. We all have our own way. There's lots of ways. I've already thought in my mind how God should do, would do, could do, and ought to do. If the angel showed up before me today, I would pray that I would say, Lord, have it your way. But I got to be honest with you. There have been times in my life I've looked back and say, if he would have showed up and said, Cricket, the Lord has found favor on you. I said, it's about time. I know he's been noticing all that stuff I've been doing. I know he's been, yeah, that's the way my mind would have went. But now I understand. Everything I ever did my way has prolonged what God was wanting to do because it's got to be done his way. Be awesome if God would do it my way, because I think I'm pretty smart and I can figure some things out, and I got an easy way if we work it. But the truth is, his way, the Bible says, is always higher than my way. No matter how high I think it. So what happens is we get into a situation, we start seeing God do things, and then we get a little scared or get a little nervous in it because it takes a turn we did not expect. Well, you know, nothing caught God off surprise. The economy did not crash. He did not say this, all right, I'm going to take care of your family, but I didn't know the economy was going to crash, and so now I don't know what we're going to do. Or, you know, I told you, you know, I'm going to heal you, but that was before you got cancer. Now that you got cancer, it didn't catch him off guard. His way. You can trust his way. And what is his way? The Bible says that you don't go through anything that he would not allow you to go through that you can't handle or create a way of escape. So if you're going through it, he knows he's put in you enough for you to get through it. His way is the right way. She said, Lord, as you have said. Now, all you guys know Beth Moore, right? If you don't know Beth Moore, you need to come to a Thursday morning Bible study. Beth Moore is probably one of the greatest Bible teachers in this country. God used her to do great things. Beth Moore tells this story about how she was in an airport one day and flying to a place to go speak an engagement and sitting there. And there was a line waiting to get on, and the plane was about to board, and they wheeled up an old man in a wheelchair. He had long, straggly hair. He was not kept. His hair was matted and messed up. And Beth Moore said that while she was sitting there, and they went up, they were about to put him on the plane first because of that's how they do. If you've been out, they board the kids and the people that need assistance first. The Lord said to her, ask him if you could brush his hair. Have you ever heard her tell this story? Amazing story. And she said, God, I don't want to do that. And she said, Beth, ask him if you can brush his hair. So she walked over to him and quietly said, may I brush your hair? He said, what? I can't hear you. Isn't that God? You know, they're not going to let you get away with it covert. In this story, the Bible says this. The Bible says, and behold. You know what behold means? Whatever's in private is going to be shown to everybody. God works that way. What you're doing, the way you're living in private right now is about to be shown to everybody when it comes to favor. And if you're doing it right in private, it's just a matter of time before God's going to show everybody. And if you're doing it wrong in private, the Bible says what's done in secret will be shouted from the rooftop. But she said, the Lord really, and they were low in the plane, and she said, she knew she had to be right with God. She said, can I brush your hair? And he said, yes. Then she said, I don't have a brush. So this is a great story, and somebody could have came here just for this point. If God told you to do it, it don't matter if you don't got what you need to do it right now. If he told you to do it, he's going to provide everything you need to be able to do it. It's what it clearly, the Bible said. It's provision, not prevision. We want God to give us it to us before we need it. I want you to know something. When you start believing God and you start doing what he tells you to do and living the way, when you get there, it will be there. And the old man said this. He said, that's what the old man said. He said, that I have a brush under my chair. So they were wanting to board the plane. She told him to go ahead. She said in her story, she said she took the brush out and it had a broken handle on it. She started brushing his hair, trying to get the gnats out of his hair. And he said, looked at her and said, I don't know how to thank you for this. She said, he said, me and my wife have been married, I can't remember the right amount of years, like 50 plus years. And we've been in a nursing home together. But 3 years ago, my wife got sick. And they moved her to another city to give her medical care. I've not seen my wife for 3 years. But they've contacted the nursing home I'm in. And they've told me that she's about to die. And so they were going to let me see her. They were flying me out to let me see her one last time before she died. He said, I was so concerned because if she sees me in this condition, she's going to be so worried that I can't take care of myself and that I'm not going to be okay when she's gone. He said, but you brushing my hair is going to let her know I'm okay. He had no idea. He had no idea what God's doing. So she brushed his hair. Now my question is this. It's worth it because when God gets the glory, the pain leaves. When God gets the glory, things change. Mary understood this principle. Mary said, God, I'm willing to do what you're wanting me to do. Because there's a world that is dying and going to hell. If I don't go through this, Jesus cannot come into their life. If I don't allow God to come through me, he will never get to where they are. I'm here to tell you this morning. It's worth it. God wants to use you. You have no idea the people sitting around that have their eyes on you, needing to know that there's hope. Needing to know that God can change it for them. God will change it for you. There are people that are going through it. And the thing about it is this. If Beth Moore would not have been in that hospital that day, or that airport that day, would you have been willing to brush his hair? How many people in your family just need you to let Jesus be Jesus in you? How many people in Walmart just need you to be Jesus in you? Because it's worth it. The amount of pain, the amount of suffering that she went through was worth it. The day he came out of that grave. And from that point on, she knew the rest. See, she had other children. Jesus wasn't her only child. Bob says Jesus had a brother, James. Did you know what? If Jesus would not have died on the cross, James would have went to hell. Do you understand that? Mary going through what she was going through, although it hurt, saved her whole family. Mary going through what she went through, saved her whole nation. Mary going through what she went through has saved all of us in here that have accepted the favor of grace of the Lord in our life. My question is this. Are you willing to pay the price for favor? This Christmas, you're going to face all kind of worries, all kind of doubts, all kind of disbeliefs, all kind of stresses, all kind of issues, all kind of circumstances, all kind of pain, all kind of opportunities to have your feelings hurt, all kind of emotions and feelings. This Christmas is no different from any other Christmas. Because life is life and life is hard. But life has hope when Jesus is involved. This would have been a horrible story had this have happened to her, and it would have been James instead of Jesus. If you're going through what you're going through just to survive, I want you to know something. There won't be worth it at the end. But if you're going through what you're going through to produce Jesus in whatever circumstance and whatever situation God has called you and anointed you to go into, it will be worth it in the end. Get me stained glass windows across the world. Have her image on it. Do you know how many holidays they celebrate? You know, religions have been established and built on worship to this little girl. Why? How was it so? Because she was willing to pay the price of favor, even when it was tough. And it always, favor always, always outpays in the end. I'm here to ask you this morning, and we're closing. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted the first favor of God, the grace, the free one, that doesn't cost you anything, that gives you everything. If you've never gotten your heart right with the Lord this Christmas, and you say, Cricket, I believe the Christmas story. I believe Jesus came because God loved me. I believe He's the Son of God. And I believe He died and rose on the cross for me. And today I want to experience the greatest favor I could ever experience in my life. If you're here this morning and you say, Cricket, I need to get right with God, would you simply just raise your hand? We're going to pray with you. This is the greatest decision you'll ever make. This was the best thing I ever did because it changed a scoundrel into something that God could use. Made everything wrong about me right. Made everything that you might not like about me usable. It gave me purpose, destiny, and happiness and joy by simply accepting the free favor. If you're here this morning, I want you to bow your head. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes with me real quick. If you're here this morning, you're not right with God, don't go through this Christmas without receiving the gift that God's given you. And it's His presence on the inside of you by you accepting the grace favor. Just say with me, say, Dear Father, I ask You to forgive me for my sins. Thank You for sending Your Son. Thank You for letting Him die on the cross for me. Thank You for letting Him rise again so that now I can live as You have destined me to live. I thank You that You are my Lord. I accept Your favor today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you're saying, Cricket, I'm in one of those seasons right now where God is telling me that He wants to have favor. He wants me to have His favor. Or I'm going through a season where His favor is on me. And that means this. You're going through a hard time. You're going through a certain situation that you could do it like everyone else does it, or you could do it like God, you know God has called you to do it. If you're here this morning, I want to pray for special grace and strength in your life, in your favor. Because the Bible said that you are highly favored. Highly favored. I mean, Mary became one of His favorite. If you're going through something, this is not punishment, this is trust. If you're going through a situation, this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. It just may be feeling that way right now. But don't be troubled. The Bible says she was greatly troubled. How will I get through this? You're going to get through this through the power of the Holy Ghost. God will not fail you. He will not leave you. He did not lie to you. He cannot break a promise. If He said it, it will come about. And it's going to happen for you supernaturally. You have to believe that God is supernatural. He's going to do it. If you're here and you say, Cricket, I need supernatural favor of the Lord for what I'm going through, simply raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. Father God, I pray right now over every person whose hand is raised. God, I ask that You would put a supernatural gift of favor on them. Just as You did Joseph while he was going through the slavery and going through the prison on his way to the palace to fulfill his destiny. God, as a church, we repent for anywhere that we did it our way. Anywhere we failed in the area of trust that You put us in, we confess it as sin. And Lord, we choose to be optimistic in this situation. We're going to find the good part of this. And we're going to shut the complaints down. We're going to turn our eyes from the negative. We're going to put our eyes on the supernatural. and believe that you can, that you will, and that you are at work right now turning all things together for good in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your gift of Christmas. I thank you for your trust you put on us. And Lord, I make the declaration, use me in a great and mighty way. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.